The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
And earlier, O'Brien, you know, basically said Watson, Tunsil, Cunningham. I would say the sooner we can get some of those deals done, the better. Interestingly enough, no mention of DJ Reader.
That's wild. Or Roby.
Yeah, I think it's a foregone conclusion that Roby's gone. Oh, there's a story.
I'm happy about that. I heard a lot of people saying they've got to find a way to keep him. I don't think so. I don't think he's worth throwing the money at. I think you can find a replacement-level guy.
Well, and apparently one of the guys they're going to be in on is Chris Harris, who I like better than Roby.
I do, too.
He's older.
That's okay.
De'Devion Clowney may be a target for both the Colts and the Titans.
Boy, the Colts, that'd be a good spot for him.
Yeah, Colts would be a real good spot because... And
Colts are building something, man. If they can get a real quarterback...
Well, the only thing that concerns me about the Colts is they've got all this cap room. They don't really spend it.
They don't. I think they're cash poor.
And maybe so. And I think that the Titans might be a better fit because Vrabel.
Yeah. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also, get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can Twitch the show. You know how to do that. Miss the first 2 hours, some of what you miss. Very sportsy, but then a little horse eating, little TV talk. A lot of stuff. All available on podcastarena.com, or at least hour two will be shortly. And we still got another hour to go. So however you're tuning in, thanks for joining us. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. Gave the people some hockey picks earlier. That's in the 4 o'clock hour. So if you want to jump on those, go catch the podcast. So you wanted to talk about your Rockets.
Well, again, just like I've been saying when they won, this is a small sample. It's not a huge deal. It's not a, end all. It's not the end of the world. It's not a good look, though. We can agree. That's a game that, I mean, they were 10-point favorites.
Yeah, well, but from the perspective of guys who like to gamble, was that not the classic trap game? And coming off the Celtics, and you got the Clippers coming in Thursday.
Yeah.
That doesn't excuse them.
To me, that would mean, okay, maybe the Knicks cover.
Right.
You can't lose to the Knicks.
If you want to
be taken seriously,
if you have
contender.
Any designs on getting that 2 seed, that's not a game you can lose.
Right.
And, and I know they're going to have their bad games, and I don't like to overreact to any one game. Just like
I'm not trying to act like this is the
world's
crumbling.
But it's a bad look for a team that has designs on the 2 seed. You can't lose that game.
And you've beat Boston twice in this run. You blew out Memphis. You went to Utah, a tough place to play, and won. To have this loss at the end of that 6-game winning streak is very odd.
Yeah, I'll just you chalk it up to a bad night, but that's not a game you want to be losing.
Well, and you can chalk it up to a bad night. That's one way of putting it.
Everybody has them during the course of a season, but that's not one you expected them to lose.
But it's another night where James goes 3 of 13. From three, yeah. And really the team was bad overall from three. They did not shoot the ball well, and they shot too much. You take 56 threes, and you make 35% of them. Okay,
and you lose by two. You can't make one more.
Yeah, and this is where it's going to eventually be an issue, because this small ball thing works until you just get destroyed on the glass.
Which is going to happen if you're missing a bunch of threes.
65-34 in rebounding.
Yeah.
65.
Is that good?
That seems like a large number of rebounds. So, yeah, I would say that wasn't the performance there. And they got 25 points from the free throw line, and they still lost. So, not a good showing. But again, not the worst thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, it's somebody's. It's like when they won against the Lakers, and then of course all the Harden poo jokes enough against the Suns. They came out and stunk against the Suns that next night.
Yep.
But if I'm not mistaken, Westbrook sat that one out.
Maybe so.
Because I think it was a back to back. I could be wrong about that.
And Westbrook was one of the bright spots last night, certainly, again, which is good to see. I thought he played well. I thought Covington played well. You get to where, Ben McLemore in short minutes, solid. At some point, you wonder, because this whole thing is so new. This small ball thing is so new.
Well, teams are going to get time to study it and adjust to it.
You're going to figure it out.
Yeah. Maybe. And I mean, they're so reliant on shooting threes, though, that if you have a bad shooting night, you can pretty much lose to anybody.
Yeah.
Now, the question is.
And it wasn't a horrible shooting night.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It should have been good enough to win this game. But.
Because, you know, this is. You start talking about what's a quality, you know, shooting night for this team. I mean, you kind of have to, I would say you have to set your expectations. But when you get out-rebounded by that much, boy, you better have shot the ball really well. And last night, they like I said, they didn't shoot poorly. They didn't shoot well enough to get it done in that situation. I mean, it's probably close to their season average, if I had to guess.
Yeah, well, they get a chance to bounce back on Thursday, and if they can't lose any more games like this if they want to move out of that fourth seed and even keep the fourth seed at this stage,
right? Because
it's pretty damn tight there.
Yeah, that's a loss that you don't. I mean, and even, you know, would I be as worried if they'd lost to the Celtics and beat the Knicks? I feel like I wouldn't be as worried.
No,
because it's Celtics. It feels like an acceptable loss
on the road. Yeah.
Like, really, the Knicks, like, they...
But, I mean, it was a similar game.
They have to go
game.
Out of their way to lose games. They're messing up their ping-pong balls every time they lose.
Well, and the thing is, the Celtics game was almost the same game. They were way down, came back.
Yep.
The difference was they won it at the end. So, I don't know if you saw this. Do we have the audio of A-Rod and what he said?
Oh.
Yeah, can you get it? There's a... Just go to the Twitter. But he weighs in on the Astros. I kind of want to get your take. We'll do that next segment. But I will say this. The Astros have been Astros. The Rockets have been more fun to watch since they've gone to this, mainly because Westbrook's not shooting tons of threes. He's taking it to the basket. They're spreading it out. And I'm enjoying watching. I always bitch about how boring they are when Harden goes dribble, 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 step back three.
Yeah.
This has been more fun to watch.
I've long been against this.
Yeah, but this has been more fun to watch. So I think now the only question for me, it's almost like nothing matters in the regular season with the Rockets. It's will this hold up in a 7-game series?
Well,
and that's, I mean, that's the story every year.
To me, the
regular season doesn't mean a damn thing.
To me, what matters is there's so many games that don't matter. I'm only interested in seeing them against other quality teams. You know what I mean?
Which they've done well against for the most part.
But there's so many just gaping holes on the schedule where I don't care. Like, obviously the LA game, Thursday now? I was going to say tomorrow because, damn it, it's only Tuesday.
Yeah.
That game on Thursday is interesting to me because that will tell us something about where they are in relation to the top teams in the league.
If the Clippers play both their guys.
Correct.
Let's quantify that a little bit, too.
That's fair. But the next three games, Charlotte, Orlando, Minnesota, I can't take anything positive from any of those games. The only thing that can happen is they lose, and I'm like, what the hell was that?
Right.
Because no matter what they do in those games, I'm not going to be like, oh, look what the Rockets did. They beat up the Timberwolves. Yeah, in your face, Timberwolves. And then you get
those are games you're supposed to go in and win.
And then period. You go just to like the last Lakers. Night. Yeah. And then the Lakers, now I'm interested again. But then after that, you've got Portland, Cleveland, Sacramento, and now now I don't care anymore. Chicago, I don't care. Yeah, I mean, you basically have to get to where, I guess at Dallas and then at the Bucks back to back is interesting. But there's so few games now that interest me, especially assuming they win those games, because you just assume they're going to win. They should win all those games. If we're supposed to take them seriously, you've got to beat the Hornets. You've got to beat the Knicks. The games that are interesting are when they're matched up against the Celtics or, you know, the Clippers or the Lakers or the Bucks. That's where I'm interested. So I can only be concerned when things like last night happen. I can't feel better when,
win. I think you just answered your own question or your own statement, because you're interested in those games. Guess what the players are interested in?
Those games.
Yeah. So it's not really surprising that they just drop a big turd.
No, you're right.
When they go into New York, because they're thinking the same thing. We want to see how we stack up against the Clippers. We just saw how we stacked up against the Celtics. Oh, it's the Knicks. We can just show up. You've been on enough sports teams where you thought that. We can just walk on. We don't even need to worry. We just walk on the floor. We're going to win by 30. Doesn't always work out that way.
No.
All right. Quick break. Do not go anywhere. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Call it a transference of flesh, as my essence is eternal. Hopping from body to body until my spirit's path meets its end. And I'm called home to the source to sleep again. Till I meet it once more, to descend to the physical. The Blitz, on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
I think the one thing that really has upset the fans is you cheat, you win a championship, there is no suspension, and then there's no remorse. And the last one, I think, is probably the worst one, because people want to see remorse. They want a real, authentic apology, and they have not received that thus far. And I can just tell you this, Matty, from a guy who has made, you know, as many mistakes as anybody on the biggest stage, I served the longest suspension in Major League Baseball history. You know, it cost me well over $35 million. And you know what? I deserved that. And as a result, I came back. I owned it after acting like a buffoon for a long time. I had my apologies, and then I went dark. And I wanted my next move to be contrite, but I also wanted to go out and play good baseball and change my narrative. And the way you change your narrative is you have to be accountable. You've earned all this negative talk. You've earned whatever comes your way, including whether it's hit by a pitch or negative press. You have divorced yourself from having the ability to protect yourself.
And that is AJ's favorite player, A-Rod. On your Astros.
I mean, what do you think? Is he wrong?
He's not wrong. The only thing that I would dispute there is he wrote this letter to the fans apologizing. It was BS.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, it never felt like he was really contrite.
No, and for him to say, oh, they, you know, if they, basically he wanted them to do the same thing he did. But so a false apology versus a bad apology, I really don't care. I mean, honestly, I don't care about your apologies, because most of the time you're making bleep up. But there's nothing else in there that I could dispute.
Right.
Or would dispute. You've earned all this negative talk, he says. He's right.
Yeah.
You've earned whatever comes your way.
And he is right that he lost $35 million.
Yeah.
But you talk about giving you a reason to not want to cheat. You lose $35 million, that'll give you a reason not to want to cheat.
Well, for him... Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he felt that, but over his career, he still did okay.
Yeah, I mean,
but that's a big number.
$35 million, a lot of money. I don't care who you are. I mean, that if Jeff Bezos went to work tomorrow and was missing $35 million, he'd be pissed.
Well, A32 says, there's a good documentary on Netflix about the A-Rod scandal. How he was able to actively hinder the MLB investigation and still gets to work for MLB is insane. Well, the problem is with any of this stuff, it's, you know, this is how these things work. You tear somebody down, and then if you buy into that they feel bad and they apologize and all shucks like Andy Pettit did, then everything's forgiven.
America loves a comeback story, don't we?
Yeah, well, we love to tear people down and then we love to forgive.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's just America. And
America.
You know, yeah, I mean, his apology was BS, there's no question. But he had a really good PR firm write it for him. And then that was it. Now the other part of this is, and there's a big difference between how people have reacted to A-Rod and how they're going to react to the Astros. A-Rod was one of hundreds of guys doing this. He just happened to get the biggest suspension because he came at the end when, and we were all thinking, oh, man, at least A-Rod's clean. Not so much.
Right.
But by then, you'd already had so many other scandals, it wasn't that big a deal. Just for him, it was to get $35 million lost in a suspension. But for the fans, I don't think it was that big a deal by then. And so I don't think you can equate the two because they still haven't caught anybody else. We still don't even know what's happening with the Red Sox. And if this goes on and on and on and you find five more teams, then I think it might be different.
Right.
But we're not there. So I don't think there's anything in there that he said except for his praising his own apology, which, come on, man, you're lying through your bleeping teeth. But other than that, he's right. And I get tired of the people pandering to, oh, well, they didn't apologize well enough.
I will say this. I mean, the apology police it is kind of lame. But I think the Astros are, particularly the guys who have really been involved in it, they don't want to apologize because things are coming at them so hard. Like, they're on the defensive. It's just like when you get in a fight with your wife. She's yelling at you and throwing things. You don't want to say sorry. You want to fight. And then maybe later, after it's over, you'll say sorry.
No, I want to leave and go bang her friend.
Okay. Well, you and I handle things differently. but, yeah, I think it's just it's a defense mechanism not to admit you're wrong in the middle of the thunderstorm. You know what I mean?
Well, I think they're also in a position where it doesn't matter what they say.
No, I agree.
Nobody's going to be happy with it because they've got their minds made up. And the reality is, they could fall on their sword. They could have a PR group do what they did for A-Rod and write this humbling apology, and people are still going to say it's not enough because they didn't get punished. And that's A-Rod's real beef, and I agree with him on that, is they didn't get punished. And, you know, they got to hide behind immunity, and people are not going to forget that. So, in a way, it's, you know, it's like they're mafia rats too. They ratted out on everybody and got away with it. So, yeah, I don't understand why this has become. And I had an email from a guy today that kind of got into it with a little bit because he was asking me if I was still going to go to Astros games when I basically cut UH football off when they hired Kendall Briles.
No, that's not the same.
Well, that's my point was.
You know, it's not the same at all.
No, it's not the same because I'm sorry, on my scale of evil, covering up rape.
Worse than cheating at baseball matches?
Yeah, exactly. And covering up rape to me is a reason to cut off a team. I'm sorry. No matter how much I might respect that and how much that school means to me, but I cut him off for the year he was there. The Astros, it's not that bad, and it's not worth all this. And that's the thing. And you know what? I don't care whether they apologize or not. They screwed up, and they deserve everything they get, and A-Rod's right about that. But the fact that they didn't get punished is going to come back. And a shameless plug for tomorrow's column, I have the five most hated Houston sports fans or Houston sports figures nationally. Two of them that made the list, Jim Crane and your Astros stars. And the reason was they got off with nothing.
Yeah.
I don't hear anybody bitching about Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch.
Because they don't have jobs.
No.
They're living under a bridge right now.
Yeah, they're punished. I don't know if it's a bridge.
It's got to be.
Probably one of those tin areas. Yeah, maybe it is. But yeah, you don't hear anybody complain about that, right? Because they actually got punished for it.
Right.
And I think that's where, because come on, man, Jim Crane, the $5 million and a couple of picks that were going to cost you more than $5 million, and that's it. And I don't know what Jim Crane knew. And maybe he did tell them to stop and they didn't, and that's, you know, why they got whacked. But, and if that's the case, which, you know, I don't have any reason to believe or not believe him. But if I don't believe him, then I'm going to think, man, this guy got off light. And that's what people are mad about. They got off light. Rather than the, I don't even know that the act actually bothers them that much anymore.
Right. It's that they didn't get punished to their,
because
to their satisfaction.
Yeah, and it's like they get to decide what the punishment is. And the reality is, no, you don't. And when do fans ever have any real say in anything? You don't. And the media is pissed off because, oh, they're screaming into the void and nothing changes. For the, yeah. And they're like, oh, we're the voice of the fan. No, you're not. You're the voice of your own loudmouth ass. But that's why they're keeping it going. So, and A-Rod's part of the media now.
Yeah.
And I don't think he said anything in there that was unfair. Other than his whole bit about his apology, which he didn't do. Well, he had it written for him.
Either way, I mean, his apology seemed at least more sincere than the Astros' apology.
It did. So, which, well, yeah, and believe me, if they were smart, the Astros would hire me as a PR consultant right now because I could fix all this. Well, I can't fix all of it now because they've screwed it up so bad, but I could fix a lot of it for them. And instead, they go and hire these big national PR firms that all write the same apology. And I think people are kind of seeing through that now. Like, remember Rick Pitino's press conference where he had to keep emphasizing the event from 7 years ago, from 7 years ago, from seven. Like, I don't know how many times he kept it. It's like, dude.
That sounds really sincere.
Yeah.
That's how you make it sound sincere when you keep saying it happened 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And you call it the event.
I regret the event from 7 years ago. It's just, you know, it's one of the things that kind of drives me nuts because you can see through it. And it's what I always say about doing your due diligence. That's one of those phrases they love to use. But Jim Crane, pay me. You know what? I'll do it for $500,000. I'll fix all your problems.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah. I'll.
Do you have a degree in this?
I have a degree in communications, which a lot of people do.
Yeah.
So no, but I guarantee you, I can give you a PR strategy that will. It's too late to change the narrative. It'll make things easier. All right. Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Never let go. They just keep breaking the threads. Not
over down. Just to hear the sound. Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz.
Show's almost over, Fred. We only got like 27 minutes.
Oh, well, we've got a segment and then we've got a Hey Man Bleep That, which I've got like three things that I'd love to get to today. But
okay.
We won't be able to get to all those. Hey, I have a coronavirus update for you.
Hey, man.
Bleep that.
Yeah.
Ninth U.S. death confirmed.
Ugh.
But let's
what state?
Washington State, where all of the deaths have come from.
Man, my wife's got a lot of family up there. We go. I mean, I go there regularly.
Well, here's what.
That's the worst.
Let's put in context.
Why couldn't it be like in Massachusetts?
Well, here's.
Do you know anybody from Massachusetts you really like or care about?
No.
No, of course not. Who's going to miss them? I mean, listen.
Boston.
There's nice people up there in the Pacific Northwest.
Well, I mean, also very high suicide rate, so this is salvaging that a little
bit.
But no, let's put a little context on it, all right, before we...
Do you think they injected the coronavirus into their veins intentionally?
Well, Here's your context, okay?
Suicide by coronavirus. No.
Five of the victims were residents of a nursing home in suburban Seattle.
Okay.
Eight of the nine people who died lived in King County. There have been 27 cases in Washington, 118 in the U.S. So overall, 9 out of 118 is not bad. 9 out of 27?
Not a great rate.
No, that worries me a little bit. But, yeah, that's your coronavirus update. So
I hate that. I hate coronavirus. I'm not going to change my mind on this.
Yeah, I just don't know what to make of this yet. I mean, I know it's a little worse than the flu, but it doesn't.
But you don't like it, right?
Well, yeah, I'm against people getting sick.
Okay, good.
I want people to be healthy and live a long time and live long, happy lives. But, you know, I mean, that's.
You can only do so much is what you're saying.
You know, yeah, I can't control coronavirus.
And you can't worry. Sitting here and worrying isn't going to help you.
No. And so are we going to just start not traveling now until this thing goes away? Because it's going to go everywhere. We might as well just get it and be done. It's kind of how I feel about it. But anyway, that just came across. So nine. And I have a question for you that I wonder if the NFL is right about this. Or, again, if they're just kissing up because it's Women's History Month. The NFL is honoring contributions from women during Women's History Month. That's great. It also announced that women now make up 47% of its fan base.
47% of what's fan base?
The NFL.
That's a lie.
So you're saying the NFL's lying?
Yes, 100%.
Well, they're doing. It does feel a little bit like pandering to me.
Yeah,
because it is.
This is one of those things where you're like trying to put you're trying to put it out there that women like the NFL, so other women will say they like the NFL. Women don't care about the NFL.
That's not true.
Some, but for the most part,
I don't think it's 40%.
No, of course it's not.
So
it's a ridiculous number.
Feels ridiculous to me. Now, when you define fan, is it somebody who watches the games?
Or is it someone who has a fantasy football team in their husband's league or something like that? I mean, that's a big difference.
I guess that makes them a fan.
I guess. But are those the people who are, you know, are waking up the next day, watching highlights, you know, reading up stories on NFL.com? I doubt it.
I think there's a higher percentage of that than there used to be, but it ain't 47%.
No.
I'm going to go with okay. Pretty much BS.
Yeah. They should have, if they had even gone like 27%, I would have said, that seems high, but okay. Like they're trying to stretch this number to a point where it's just unbelievable.
Well, here's a number that I would throw out there. I would say 33%. Because I can make an argument that 1 in 3, even though I don't buy that, that's high.
Right, but even if you say 1 in 3, I mean, do you think 1 in 3 women are even football fans? Much less 1 out of every 3 football fans is a woman?
Well, think about this. Only 1 out of 3 Americans watch the Super Bowl.
Okay, and the Super Bowl is like the prime example of when women watch football.
Right.
Like, they may have said, how many of you watched a football game this year? I can picture 47% of people saying they watched a football or set that, maybe not even watched but had it on.
But in comparison to men?
Nah, I don't buy that.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you got to do 33%. People would have bought that. And that still sounds like an impressive number.
47% just makes it sound like BS.
Yeah, because that's almost half of the fans.
Yeah.
And I know that's half the population.
Is that almost half?
It's almost half.
Oh, my God. That's
listen,
crazy.
I'm like Lance Erline. I'm a numbers guy. Ugh. 47%, almost half.
And let's face it, 33% of the people in Washington that has been exposed to coronavirus have died.
Yeah.
A higher percentage of women are NFL fans? This is a Creighton moment. You're telling me the NFL is more relevant than coronavirus? To women? I can't believe it.
Why hasn't the coronavirus hit the Dodgers?
We have late hits tonight?
No, it's Soccer Matters.
Soccer Matters. Okay. Yeah. Maybe Glenn Davis will do that bit then. Maybe not.
Glenn's a little too professional.
That's true.
Unless he's in a very loud place. Apparently, though, all the fears about the 2020 Olympic Games not being held because of coronavirus.
I wasn't afraid of that.
I wasn't either. Because
let me tell you something. Just like this BS about the NCAA being played in front of no fans.
Yeah.
When there's money to be made, they're going to push it through.
Yeah, and if you die, you die.
Yeah, I hear all these people talking about, oh, there's big concerns about the Houston Rodeo. Is there any talk about canceling it?
No.
Hell no. There's money.
Not it's canceling like, NBA games. We're not canceling baseball games.
I don't want people to die, but we got to get these bucks. So if it happens, it's worth it. Which will also play into my Hey Man Bleep That, by the way. I got something for that.
Yeah, it says, the games are going ahead on the 24th of July. We completely expect to deliver them on that date. All the advice we've been given is that we can go ahead from the WHO and other organizations.
The who?
The WHO.
Who?
The kids are all right, man. But this is my favorite. This is one of my favorite sports names of all time. IOC executive Dick Pound.
Dick Pound.
That's not as good as Dick Trickle.
No, Dick Pound is actually better.
It kind of sounds a little bit badass, right?
Dick Trickle makes it sound like there's something wrong with it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, this is not good because I probably need to go see my physician.
Right.
Dick Pound, you probably need to go see your favorite porn makers.
Yeah.
And hook up with them. That'd be a pretty good porn name. Anyway, well, there's your, that. Now we've finished our coronavirus update for the day. We've had coronavirus. We've had politics. Steelers fan one said one out of three Americans watch Super Bowl, but how many watch for just the commercials and halftime show?
That's the point.
Ah, but that's where their 47%.
That's what I'm saying. That's what they're asking. Is like, hey, did you sit down and watch any football this year? Any NFL? And yeah, maybe 47% of women or 47% of the people would say yeah, and 47% would be women. But like, how many of you watched five full football games this year? How many of you can name two starting offensive linemen for your favorite team? My guess is the number goes down a little.
Yeah, you know what they didn't ask? It's like, how many of you just tuned in to see Shakira's ass?
Right.
Yeah.
It's like when I asked Holly to name before she did her mock draft, to name her top five defensive tackle prospects. And she's like, I hate you. That's what women would say. Name two of the starting offensive linemen on your favorite NFL team. I hate you.
Well, here's a hint.
Justin Tucker.
We mentioned two of them today earlier in the show, so if you were paying attention.
We did, yes.
You know who the starting tackles are for
assuming
the Texans.
Assuming the Texans are your favorite football team.
Well, yeah, which I mean, I'm saying that's probably about 47% of the people who listen are Texans fans here. Of those, I don't know how many would be women, but if you want to sound smart, there you go. You know the starting tackles. But you probably got to go back and listen to the podcast again.
Yeah, and then are you really a fan?
I believe so.
Are you really a fan?
I believe that makes them a fan because they listen to us. And if they listen to us...
If you're not a fan, if you're a fan and you don't go back to listen, you're not really a fan.
Interesting.
Mm.
I'll ponder that on the break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz.
Hey guys, sports to you.
On ESPN 97.5.
Sports to you.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One final segment to go. Let's wrap it up the way we do every Tuesday. Well, at least Tuesdays when we're on until 7 o'clock. With a little Hey Man Bleep That. Aaron, you want to kick it off? You've been very quiet today.
Yeah, so I am one of the engineers for the XFL Roughnecks. And I
think we can call them the Houston Roughnecks.
The Twitter handle is XFL Roughnecks, so that's how I refer to them. But yes, the Houston Roughnecks.
Thank you.
For
the city.
And I
for
had the
H.
privilege.
For the H, I mean, yeah.
I had the privilege of joining them on the road trip to Dallas this past weekend, and we took a bus up there, departing out of TDECU. And when I got there, I parked in the closest parking lot.
I thought you took a bus.
We did. When
did
I got
you
to U of H.
Did you drive the bus?
No.
Oh, when you parked at U. I thought you said when you got to
Dallas. No, no. When I got to U of H to jump on the bus.
I took a bus. And then
I parked
I got
at the
there,
closest parking lot to the buses.
Okay.
To the stadium. That is, every time I've seen it, pretty empty.
Okay.
Unless it's a game day. Got there and found out, oh, yeah, you probably shouldn't have parked there. You're going to have a ticket. And then somebody else reiterated, oh, you're not going to have one ticket. You're going to have two because we won't get back until 11 o'clock on Sunday night. So you get to deal with that. And, of course, myself and Nate Griffin and a couple other guys on the team got back and looked at our cars and went, you got two? Yep. You got two? Yep. Wow. And there's about, I don't know, 300 empty spaces here. I'm so glad they were concerned about us taking up the three spaces that they, you know, couldn't afford to spare for the team that just put in a whole new field for them. So having to deal with all this runaround of U of H and then being greedy about a couple of parking spaces, hey, man, f*** that.
Well, maybe you should have been more responsible about where you parked.
Yeah,
maybe read the sign.
I will never park on the UH campus again. I take the train or I'll Uber. It's that simple.
So I was telling you about the rodeo and how they're not worried about coronavirus. Well, guess what's happening in San Antonio?
Well, they got a bunch of coronavirus there.
Not only coronavirus, mad cow.
Oh, no.
Not even mad cow disease. Real, actual rabid cows. A black Brangus heifer was exhibited at the San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo. And apparently, it passed the fatal virus to humans. It says it's usually transmitted by bite, but petting an animal with rabies or coming into contact with contaminated blood, urine, or feces can also cause infection. The first symptoms are flu-like, fatigue, weakness, fever, headache. The area around the point of infection may experience prickling, itching, or general feelings of discomfort. One of the most infamous symptoms of rabies is a fear of water. Are you aware of this?
I've been scared of water lately.
Well, there you go. Officials have already been in touch with those who were caring for the cow and other animals that were being kept nearby. But they say residents who visited the cattle barn between February 11th and 14th and have any concerns can speak with staff at the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District.
Wow.
The cows giving humans rabies, I say, hey, man, that.
Well, mine's a little lighter than that, kind of. Apparently, there is a movement among many airlines to stop the sale of alcohol on a flight.
Ooh.
Because some people can't handle it and it causes some problems. Listen, alcohol is why I can put up with your recliners. Alcohol is why I can put up with your screaming, bleeping kids. Alcohol is why I can put up with your fat in my seat. Do not take alcohol off of airplanes. I drink a lot. Guess what? You know how many times that I've been cut off on an airplane or kicked off of an airplane? Zero.
Zero times this year.
Well, zero ever. And you know how many times I've flown? A lot.
12.
No, probably
50.
I'm going to guess at least 500.
Ooh.
So if I can do it, you can do it. Maybe we can all do it. Do not get rid of alcohol on a flight. To that I say, hey, man, f*** that.
I'm with you on that. I thought you said this was a lighter topic. That's serious business.
Well, it's lighter compared to people dying from mad cow disease.
I mean, what do you think people are going to get?
I mean, I'm not going to die if I don't get alcohol. I'm just going to be pissed.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I feel like you need it like blood at this point.
Nah, I could get plenty in the bar before we leave, which we usually do, and then do a bunch on the plane too, but that's beside the point. Oh, well. I had another one too, but I'll save it for next week. It's actually something we've talked about before, and now there's a science that proves it, which reinforces my belief that people who drive Mercedes are dickweeds. All right, that is going to wrap it up. We got a little Soccer Matters coming up next. Andrew will be running the show in there. Aaron, good job today. Not bad. I'm going to give you an A. Hoffman, A+. Standard for you. I was pretty good for me today. C-. We will be back tomorrow for What Are the Odds Wednesday, which I already know is going to be a short show. You weren't supposed to tell me, but I figured it out. Aggie basketball starts at 6, so. All right, till tomorrow. Stay sporty, bitches. Someone take me from-